Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Bing.
Welcome back to Okla Said. It is the official Okla Ed podcast, and guess what?
There was a lot of lightning by my house last night. That's what.
That's probably bigger than what I was going to say. Oh, okay. I was going to go for the super selfish. Today's my birthday.
Oh my goodness. I think I saw that as I was calling you and got distracted with the whole microphone thing. Well, happy birthday, Aaron.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I think what I'm going to take a guess here. 27.
Yes.
I knew it. You look like just a strapping young 27-year-old.
No, I'm 39 this year.
What? I can't even count that high.
I know. These old crow's feet on the side of my face don't let you believe that, but it's true.
Good thing this is a podcast.
I'm Erin Barnes, and you can find me on the Twitters at ebarnes73, and Scotty is on the Twitters at teachfromhere.
And so when you hear this podcast, you know exactly how to tweet Erin belatedly for her birthday.
Don't do that. I hate notifications more than anything. Do you know that? I hate notifications.
Oh, goodness. Well, dang.
It's fine. I'll take it for the birthday wishes.
Okay, yeah, because birthday, you know, you only get one of those.
Per year.
Well,
I'm 39 now.
Yeah, so you've had 39 of them, but who's counting?
That is counting. Well, this week's chat, we got some more trauma-informed education here with Kristen Ashley and her friend Eleanor now at the reins. Eleanor Gutzinger.
Yep.
And we'll talk with her in a little bit. She's going to have a phone call with me today, and she is very interesting and fascinating already. She sent me kind of like her bio and what she's been doing, and I really can't wait to get into that conversation.
That'll be awesome. And I feel like we've had Miss Ashley on. She's almost become an Okla Said regular this summer.
I know. I went to dinner with her a couple of weeks ago and said, you know, we really miss Senior Jonathan, but we are very pleased to have Senora Ashley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For real. She's good.
Anyway, so the chat for this week was, what was it?
It was the impact of students with trauma on behaviors.
Yes, which is kind of important. You know, we've got behavior issues in classrooms all the time, and knowing where those behavior issues are coming from and what's, you know, what the cause underneath is, it's pretty important.
Yeah, and it can be hard for teachers to keep in mind that sometimes things that students bring with them aren't necessarily, or behaviors that students have aren't necessarily a reflection of what they think about us. I mean, sometimes it is. Sometimes the kid is forever loving mad at you, but sometimes they're not, because they've brought with them something, and we just need to be aware, if we can, with all of the other children running around.
I totally agree.
This was a good chat for that, though.
I thought so, too, and I was really excited that I got to actually participate in this chat. You know, I've been in and out this summer, and I was here, and you were here, too.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun, too.
Yeah. Yeah, grad school, you were able to work it out as far as how grad school time off, and I was glad to see that you were in the chat, and I was glad that I got to be there at the same time, because we haven't been able to do that for a while.
No, it's been a really long while.
Yeah, it's been a while. So let's dive in.
Well, question one, should we dive in?
Yeah, dive in.
Well, question one, let's dive in here. What is your understanding of the concept of students that exhibit trauma-based behaviors in school? I kind of sat back and watched on this one. I am still learning when it comes to this conversation.
Well, and I think too, unless I've been told something when school starts, I don't know that you're experiencing a trauma.
So, right.
So in those first few weeks of school, before I get to know a student and have some sort of understanding of their background, I don't know if that's a behavior based off of me or my class or what. That's exactly. Hard. You know, that's hard.
Well, I went with a Miss Vicky Trimble tweet on this one. She said, often the trauma-based behavior looks like ADHD or defiance, et cetera. And I'd have to agree with her there. I'm not sure I know the differences in the behaviors.
Right, like exactly what it is that is, because all of it could be related to.
Exactly.
Like the I hate you to the fidget. Could all be related back to the trauma. I went with Alan Lehman here. He's at Alan_Lehman. He said, they are unavoidably bringing the effects of outside events into the school environment. Generally speaking, these students are doing as best they can. I would say too, now we're talking about students. I would say we as adults do this exact same thing because not every teacher is going home to a safe place.
You're right. You're right.
So there could be stresses there, which lead teachers to maybe act out in ways that they wouldn't normally do. Question two, how do students with severe behavioral concerns impact teachers in the general education classroom setting?
Ooh, man.
That can be, the struggle is real here, right?
For sure.
I mean, if you have a student that comes in who's got significant behavioral concerns, it makes it hard for everybody. I mean, you have to teach the whole class. You can't stop the whole class just for one kid.
No, you're exactly right.
You know
right
what
there.
I'm saying?
It makes it so hard.
Yeah.
It makes it so hard.
It can really be a challenge. And each one of those students has to be handled a little bit differently because they are not all the same.
Well, I went with Kaz Nelson on this one, and she's a principal, and she's probably seen quite a few things revolving around this kind of information. But she says challenging students can be overwhelming. I've seen teachers struggle with a range of things from classroom management and discipline supporting the behavior challenged, as well as the students, the other students. It affects everyone in the classroom.
Right.
Right.
That's a good one. I'm glad when Kaz, I know Kaz is like hashtag nonstop Nelsons. I love it when she hashtag stops long enough for Okla Ed.
Okay. And did you see her thing that she's got coming out?
I don't know if I've seen it or not. Maybe.
The bedtime story?
Oh, yes. I tweeted that. Okay. Here's my tweet to that. Best idea of the school year, period. And we've hardly gotten started.
I want to steal this idea.
Yeah.
Or tell my kids to tune into hers.
Yeah, edusteal it or share it because the whole bedtime time stories, absolutely super brilliant idea. And if you want to know more, just hop on Twitter and go over to @CassNelson with a K.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I thought that idea was great. So I chose Jason Bangs here. He's at Jason Bangs. He said severe behavior concerns can disrupt the learning of other students, but teachers need to understand that every action, positive or negative, is rooted in something. Teacher needs to find or get assistance finding the cause of the negativity for the sake of the students. And I kind of like what he says there because he's saying as teachers, we need to recognize there's a root cause for that. But we also need to recognize we can use help to help us with that student.
Right.
You know, I don't have the skill set that Kristen has to deal with all the students. I can have empathy, but I don't have some of the skill set that she has to work with some of these students who may be super challenging or have the trauma at home. Like, I don't have that skill set, but Kristen can help me grow my empathy in a way that gives me skills to work with and to recognize students that come with traumas.
Can I tell you, since we've had the couple of chats and then this one on Sunday, trauma informed all over my Facebook the last couple of days.
Yeah.
I mean, some of my teacher friends that I know, even here at Epic, are going to conferences and stuff like that on this trauma-informed. And so I do believe you and I may be out of the reach of it directly right now.
Right.
So that might be why we thought, oh my goodness, more professional development. But it does sound like it is definitely hitting the brick and mortar world and even in the Epic world.
I think there's a lot of discussion happening about it. And I've seen some allusions to it in other places too. I don't remember it happening when I was in brick and mortar, but that doesn't mean that it didn't. It could have just meant that wherever it was occurring, I wasn't located in that space.
Right. Right.
I don't know. So there you go.
So there you go.
So there you go.
Question three, how are the number of students with trauma-based behavior problems now significantly increasing in Oklahoma schools? I would say probably with the idea of knowing that it exists significantly.
I think this falls in the category of, you know, if you look at like the autism spectrum, like we identified this is what the spectrum of autism looks like. And then we were able to identify all of these behaviors and things associated with autism. And all of a sudden, the number of kids that had autism went from like 2 out of 100 to 15 out of 100, or, you know, or whatever it was. But because we were better able to identify those students with autism. And I think in some ways, the exact same thing is happening here with the trauma behaviors. We're finally recognizing that this is an important thing and that students are bringing these traumas to us and these events to us. It's part of who they are as students. And we're recognizing that. And as a result, we're seeing more of them. Does that make sense at all?
It does make sense. I went with a Todd Gregg tweet on this one. He is at Mr. Gregg. He says, I've not been teaching long enough to really compare. I do know some of my AP students come from backgrounds and situations that are just unfathomable. They're my superheroes for succeeding in life the way that they do.
Yeah, that's a good one. I went with June Kim. He's at MPS Technology. He said, if you associate students' trauma to poverty, parental incarceration, drug addiction, etc., it's only growing in Oklahoma schools. I mean, we do lead the nation in incarcerating people. So a lot of those people have students.
You're very right.
Yeah. Question four. Are all students with severe trauma-based concerns identified as special ed? And here's, like, I sure hope not.
Right.
We sure seem to stick a lot of them there. I mean, I don't know. Or you stick them all into, you take these kids that are just super challenging and they all go into with the one teacher because, you know, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, he's just really able to work with those kids.
Right.
Even though that's a significant challenge for Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so. Like, these aren't special needs kids. These are kids with they may be special needs, but they have different needs, right?
They have different needs. I do hope that we are not throwing these kiddos into special ed. They've already got a list of paper to fill out every single time something happens, and they do not need more and more and more to do. We're gonna kill them. That nobody wants to go to special ed anymore because there's so much extra paperwork. And while I do believe these kiddos need extra support, I don't know that it's necessarily the special ed world that needs to do it.
I feel like if we're going to put them in a special ed, give them an IEP, then we need to make allowances for other things that are part of that, you know, like restructuring assignments or restructuring assessments or whatever. And these students may need that, but they may not. We just may need to understand how to help them work through a behavior that they're used to using.
I totally agree with that.
It's a different thing, right?
I went with a Jack Reed tweet on this one. He is JL Reed 2011. He says, I hope not. Special ed students are not the catch-all. Wait, special ed students, yeah, they're not the catch-all for all problems. And I think that should be special ed teachers are not the catch-all. They should not be thought of as such. All students, regardless of static, suffer trauma. All students.
Reading is hard.
It is so hard. They can suffer trauma. can, in need of help and be overlooked, we need to pay attention to all of our students.
Yeah. All of our humans, like, humans are going to experience trauma, all of us. Like, no one population gets all of those, right?
That's right. So. Well, and it trauma is one of those things, man. It can hide in somebody for a while, mm-hmm. and then manifest itself much, much later. And something that may have happened to somebody at 3, at 8, you might not see all of that until 15, until 35, until 51, you know? It's a weird little beast, this trauma.
Yeah, it can be crazy. So Sherry Gately, who is at Sherry Gately, she said, not at all, which is why we need resources for all students. We need counselors who can actually be counselors and not schedulers and credit checkers. Bang on, Sherry.
That's right.
You know, at Memorial, we had 3 or 4 counselors. We had 3 counselors in the high school and 1 freshman counselor. The high school counselors split up by last name, so they didn't stick with a grade. And we have basically sort of 1 crisis counselor person. So the grade level counselors basically were the credit checkers and schedulers and meet with the students and check in and see how they were doing. But they weren't able to offer help in a way that could truly benefit a student in need of help. We only had 1 lady for that. And she could easily get overwhelmed if it was, you know, full moon outside or something.
Yeah. Well, question 5.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
What are school districts currently doing to assist teachers in this important area of education?
So I don't know. So I just picked a tweet.
Me too. Okay. Jessica Robinson, who is at Jess Rob, said, I think teachers need more resources and training. Counselors have much more knowledge in this area and are consistently asked to do so much that they don't have time for the job that they've been trained to do. I do know, and I picked this tweet because when I was in the brick and mortar setting, that counselor served as a substitute teacher. That counselor served as the assistant principal because that elementary didn't have an assistant principal.
Right.
That counselor was the principal when the principal was out. You know, there were a lot of things that counselor was asked to do that were above and beyond counseling.
Yeah, which limits the time that they can do the counseling because they're so busy doing the other things. So I went with Dr. April Grace, and she's at Shawnee. Sup. Sup, Aaron. Sup.
Sup.
Sup. She said, probably not nearly enough, if we're honest. We're working to put a variety of therapeutic counseling services in for students plus family. In most cases, we also need to work with the family. For teachers, training, lots of support, more training, and collaborative convos. I think that's one place where this kind of comes back to that whole wraparound services situation. If we've got a student that's going through some trauma, we can help at school. But if they go home and that trauma is existing, that trauma is still there and it's major and it's playing a role and the parents don't know how to deal with it, then we've got to fix those things when a student comes back to school again the next day, right?
Yes.
But if we can provide support for family as well and then to teachers also, bang on. So I love that they're doing that out in Shawnee. That's great. That's so great. Are you tweeting a picture right now? Did I hear the picture camera? Are you typing? Aaron,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Checking my phone while you read the next. Oh, this is my question. Question 6. What are some of the available resources on this topic that can assist school districts, admins, and TEs in the schools? Kristen Ashley.
I have a Kristen Ashley and I have a Stephanie Hinton in my hip pocket if I need them.
Dang. That's some awesome hip pocket stuff.
It made me look a little wide. And so if you see me and you're like, you've got some wide hips, I'll be like, yeah, that's not me. That's
one side's Kristen.
Some people call them saddlebags. I call them my friends in my hip pockets.
Oh, oh boy. So,
we both, but Sally Tilly.
Yeah, we both picked her, so I'm just...
We did both pick her.
Yes, so that means it must have been a good one.
It was. Oh, you know what? Because we were in different... I was like, we don't usually find that out at the last minute. But we were both in different documents for this one. That's funny.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a weird thing.
You're a better reader than I am.
Oh, you're very kind. So district-wide, Sally Tilly, who is at Sally Tilly, she said, district-wide, we need to have a solid understanding of trauma and how it affects students. It starts at the top with admin who want to see this change. I think... In a lot of ways, especially with this, because it's such a challenging topic, admin does need to lead the charge here. And teachers need to follow that one. This is one that teachers need to follow on.
No, I would agree with you there.
But
Question seven, how do students with severe behavioral problems impact school security and safety? Sheesh.
I mean, and somebody tweeted out here, and this is really good. These kind of behavior problems don't necessarily mean that it's a violent behavior problem. It could be, but it could not be.
Right. And that's a hard topic. I mean, we sat in a class a couple of weeks ago where one of the gals in my class showed the footage from the school of a kiddo who was acting out, right? And so, and she was doing this for her presentation, and we paused. And, you know, the question is, do you remove the one who's refusing to remove, you know, who's refusing to leave, or do you remove the other 35 or 34 to keep them safe? So what do you do?
It's a hard question. And teachers face these kinds of questions all the time. Do we let the behavior of the one impact the learning of the other, you know, however many? And that is a hard question.
It's a hard question. I think I said something to the effect of, like, sometimes, though, we do have to leave the 99 to get the one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really scary because then you've got the 99 left.
Right.
Kind of fend for themselves for the next 5 minutes.
Right. And now what do you do?
And now what do you do? Well, I went with the Deborah Thornton tweet here. She says, not the PC answer. And there were a couple of these said not the PC answer. But she said, they make us accept bad behavior, which gets us to thinking that it's normal or acceptable, which then makes us less aware of smaller issues and threats that might crop up.
Squirrel. Dear listener, if only you could see Erin's face.
The dogs are the absolute worst.
As she is looking at her dogs and throwing... She's now thrown down her headphones and left our meeting. I can no longer see her. I hope that she is handling the dog situation.
That part out.
Oh, dear listener, she is back. I wish I had taken a screen capture of her face as her dogs barked while she read.
Like,
would have been so perfect.
The girls are out of town, so I was so confident that this was going to go off without a hitch. Like, no mom, no crazy back door slamming or anything. Dog freaks out at the squirrel in the yard.
Oh, goodness.
So, yeah.
I chose Steve Gilland. And he said, initially, they may be identified as a threat. That's why it's critical to get to know the why behind the behavior. Somebody must connect with them. I tell the students to make sure they have at least one go-to person in the building, and I love that. If you can make it known to every student that they have a go-to person in the building somewhere, that can make it all the difference.
That is a great piece of advice.
So, all right, question eight: what does the future look like in schools when working with trauma-based behaviors?
Good question. I think I was and said something to the effect of, what does it look like to teach in fully funded classrooms? Or
you did say that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what it looks like. We're all trained. We all know what the right thing to say and do might be. And I don't know. I don't know. But I do know Sherry Gately went with a pretty good tweet. And it says, it looks like a building that practices grace, patience, restorative justice, and allows students but not be a mistake. And I really liked that. She took my snarkiness and put a really great tweet out there.
Yeah, she said that's a good one. Alan Lehman, he said, more aware, definitely. Far better prepared to serve these students and less inclined to incorrectly label them as special education students, etc.
Yeah, that's important.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, question 9. What's one thing you'd like your teammate to know about trauma-based behaviors?
They're there.
They exist.
Yeah. I think, over the summer, as we've talked a lot about this, I think one of the things that I've recognized with people that I deal with, sometimes if I get barked at, I have started immediately sort of going to a situation where, or my thought process is, this person, something's going on with this person that I'm not aware of. And as a result of that stress, I get a little bit of a barking.
Right.
And so I try not to take it as a personal deal. Like, they're not personally attacking me.
Right.
It's just, does that make sense?
I think if we're going to be on the same page and working with students, then we should fully be on the same page. And if I think that trauma-informed behaviors exist and you don't, you students or letting them get away with too much, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. And then it can cause some problems.
I think that if we're working together, we need to be on the same page.
Right. Like, yeah. Like, we're doing this together or we're not.
Right. June Kim tweet on this one. He said, the trauma can be temporary from military parents being deployed or coming back from deployment. Reach out to the parents, even the base, for support and resources, which I thought that was really good. And he said, hashtag military child.
And he's hashtag National Guard. So he's sometimes in that traveling category.
Right.
So, I went with Sally Tilly again. Sally Tilly. She said,
hello.
Sorry.
No, okay. So you're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't. This look, I have to have my volume on so I can hear you. But if I get a phone call, it's coming through on the computer, even though I've silenced the phone.
Your look of like, what else could happen?
What else could happen? Do you want to turn on a blender?
No blenders? Okay. So Sally Tilly, she said, they don't have to be permanent. We can work to address students' needs and help them work through the behaviors instead of just punishing them.
That's really good.
That's a good one. Question 10. Knowing trauma significantly impacts the brain and a student's response in fight, flight, or freeze, what will you do differently this year?
Well, I didn't realize I could make them freeze, so that's exciting.
Freeze!
And we're frozen. No, so I went with your buddy, Tutelani Asino.
Asino. Yeah. Dr. Asino.
Yeah. He said, I shall listen more, observe more, seek out resources, and have on hand for when the moment arises. I liked that.
I know that at Oklahoma State, I know they have services available, but the only reason that I knew services were available was through conversations that I had with people that were already on staff there or teaching there. So the university itself, and maybe the faculty are more aware of those things because when they go through Welcome to Oklahoma State, I'm sure they get inundated with those kinds of things. But I didn't see a ton of reminders to even graduate students, teachers who do a lot of work at the university. I didn't see a lot of reminders like, hey, if you notice a student that needs support in this way, this is where you can send them.
No, and I think that that's really important.
Yeah. So I was glad that Dr. Asino was in the chat. He's not in there super duper often, but when he is, he drops off knowledge bombs.
Yeah. Hey, so I also picked a second tweet on this. I don't know if you know that, but I picked your tweet.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's not always personal. Yeah. It's not always personal. It's not always personal. Hashtag OklaEd.
Yeah, it isn't always personal. So in fight, flight, or freeze, you can just breathe and go, it's not always personal.
It's not always personal.
Whew. So bonus questions. What is one personal goal you will set for yourself this school year?
I have none.
I said my goes, this isn't trauma based, but okay. I really want to try, and in one of my fall semester classes, I want to put together an immersive gamified experience.
How do you think you'll do that?
I'm not sure yet, but I want to do, and here's why I say immersive, because I want it to just be more than like badges, experience points, rewards. Like, I want it to be Easter eggs, and I want it to be rare items, and I want it to be something that becomes an intrinsically motivated thing.
Yes.
So instead of just pulling a couple of these mechanics in, pulling in as many as possible.
I really like it.
So we'll see. It's going to take some work and some deep thinking by Jack Handy.
Who was your boom sauce tweet?
Well, but my bonus question tweet was Jim Kuhn.
Dang it.
Or June Kim, Jim Kuhn. Oopsies.
I've done that so many times.
June Kim at MPS Technology. He said, re-emphasize to myself and staff that every decision and discussion should be filtered through the lens of we are caring, committing, changing the lives of our students.
That's a great mission statement.
And sometimes you forget that when you get into the middle of the stuff.
It's not personal. All right.
So I have a boom sauce tweet, but I don't know where it went.
I believe
you do yours first.
Find it. I didn't put one in.
Oh, did you not use Jim Kuhn's? June Kim's?
Oh, I did. Yeah. Well, you didn't add it to this doc.
No, I didn't move it over there.
Sorry. I was a horrible person for not doing it.
This podcast has been all over the place. If you made it to the end of this podcast today, you deserve a gold star. Email eBarnes. Yes, get your gold star. Yeah, Easter egg.
June Kim said, it can be detrimental if the school or district does not address this with a growth mindset. If our why is to help every kid, then our how and what does not line up with punishment. Mediate or remove.
Right. That's a good one. June also was my boom sauce. And I actually retweeted this as hashtag Sonic freaking boom sauce. So I knew during the chat that this was going to be it. But he said, patrons and hashtag okay leg needs to see that in the percentage they are mandating that schools spend on students, how can you not include media specialists,
yes,
counselors,
yes,
LPCs, etc. Yes.
No, I saw that too, and I was like, "Yes, that is yes." He's really good, June.
Yeah, and his tweet was in response to something I had said. Anytime we can increase services that impact a student's well-being, we are hashtag winning. It takes investment in these quote unquote non-classroom, shaking my head, areas of public ed. And so I was sort of tossing a snarky tweet out there.
Sure.
But June came in and just cleaned it up and made it amazing. Because yeah, counselors, media center people, those aren't part of the 60%. But without them, nothing is going to happen in the school.
Right. Well, next week on the Twitter chat, we're going to have Tina Kirkpatrick. She is at Mrs. _ KP, in case you want to follow beforehand. Mm-hmm. And she's going to be chatting about or throwing questions out there about teaching strategies.
I think this is going to be great. She is up in Pryor and she does a lot of their googly stuff. So I don't think she's hosted a chat before.
I haven't seen her name, but I do know she's a part of OklaEd and does tweet during chats.
Yes.
Because we've used her before.
Yes, we have. And I got to meet her at Camp OKC.
Did you?
Yes.
That's exciting.
At Camp OKC in Norman. As it
Maybe
were.
You should interview her this week.
I can't say whether I have or haven't interviewed her previously. So it's your turn.
Okay.
But she's a great interview.
It's always my turn.
It's always your turn. Because you're such a good interviewer.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I do appreciate
it. You do
it
way better than I would.
Oh, stop it. No, you read better. I interview.
We each have our strengths.
Anyway, you can join us on the chat. It's 8 p.m. Central Standard Time under using the hashtag OOKLAED.
On Twitter.
On the Twitters.
That's right. So, there you go.
All right.
All right.
Okay, educators. Okay, you special educators and regular teachers in education. Let's go out and let's make a difference in Oklahoma, because you know what? We can do it. So let's do it. Let's do it for our towns, and let's do it to our communities in Oklahoma, because they deserve it. They deserve the best.
You cheated, but I love it. That was the best. That was the best. So whenever I sent you, I'm back.
Yeah.
I had a bajillion things to catch up on.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm back! Like this.
Yeah. With the silver pipes of big bad Aaron Barnes, she's back in the saddle.
Saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, Oklahoma.